This morning, if you will, take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 1. We look around in our culture and we see all kinds of things happening, and sometimes Christians, we like to bury our head in the sand. We like to think things are not happening or things won't be like they think they will be. And it's unfortunate. And it's really caused, I think, in some ways, some real problems, issues in our culture. I think there's a movement that kind of happened more when the separation of church and state was twisted into what it is right now. And the idea that, well, we really shouldn't have anything to do with what's going on in the government. And we look around, why is the world like it is? Or people in government, certainly not all people, don't get me wrong, but people in judges or senators or presidents or whoever it might be, why is it that we have people that just don't fear God? I think a big piece of it is that we as Christians tend not to be as bold as we should. As I heard that it was about 58 million, is that right? Evangelicals, I think that's the right number, 58 million evangelicals, people here in America that are God-fearing, that did not go vote. It was 58. It sounds a little high. I forgot the number there. The point is this, that as believers, we have a responsibility to be involved in what's happening in our nation. We are to be lights of the world with the gospel, and that is the key to it, and we'll come back around to that. But when natural man is left to do what he wills, there's events that happen. Look in Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that way they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changing the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, the birds and the four-footed beast and creeping things. Therefore, God has given them up to uncleanness in the lust of their heart, to dishonor their bodies amongst themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanging the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burning in lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which is due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgments of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. As we consider what God has written here through the hand of Paul, the mind of man left to himself. It changes from God to sinfulness. It's very clear here that they became futile in their thoughts and foolish in their foolish hearts were darkened. And in verse 24 it says, God gave them up to uncleanness. They were headed that way, and he said, okay, you can go that way. In his, you look at God and you say, well, how can God do that? Is God righteous and just if he allows people to just do whatever they want? Well, understand that God allows for his mercy, says, I will allow you to do that. Why would he do that? And still, even to a degree, show goodness to them. Well, chapter 2 tells us that the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering are to help lead them to repentance, to recognize that while God could immediately judge, he doesn't. God has given us the ability to choose. And when we do not listen to God, we tend to choose to what's wrong. God gave them up to uncleanness. In verse 26, God gave them up to their vile passions, their sinful lust that they go after. We can look at our own history here in America and find even what's happened recently, something that is built. In 1995, Utah became the first state to enact the Defense of Marriage Act. Now, before that, there were other states. In fact, by the time of 1995, 12 states have had in place a law or statute or some sort of rule in the law, in the books, that said marriage is between one man and one woman. Utah was the first to make this Defense of Marriage Act formal this way. In 1996, President Clinton signed the Defense of Marriage Act, the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. And what that said is that the federal government will not recognize any other kind of marriage than one man and one woman. It can't be homosexual marriage. It can't be two wives and one husband. It can't be a man and his dog or whatever else kind of things you can come up with. As far as the federal government was concerned and the IRS and everything that way, it was going to be one man, one woman. But in 2000, we get to the year 2000, just 4 years later, Nebraska becomes the second state to define marriage in their state constitution as one man and one woman. And by 2008, 43 states, so in a short period of time, 43 states defined marriage as one man, one woman. The biblical, the real marriage. 43 states, either by popular vote, by legislative initiative, or by executive order. However, in 2008, there were two states, Massachusetts and Connecticut, that were allowing same-sex marriage. Five states had neither banned nor legalized homosexual marriage. So 43 states saying one man, one woman, two states saying it could be two men or two women, and five states that said we're not getting involved in this mess. In 2015, That's 7 years. 7 years. 29 states had judges overturn the will of the people. It wasn't the people, it was judges in states or federal judges that said it's unconstitutional for you to have a law that says only one man, one woman. And then, of course, you know, some 2-3 weeks ago, June 26, 2015, that the Supreme Court said that defining marriage as one woman and one man is illegal. It's unconstitutional. what do we care? Let me help you understand with what has happened here. In Romans chapter 1, we looked in verse 25. It says about these ones who God has given up to uncleanness. It says they exchanged the truth for a lie. We can look in the Old Testament. We see examples where the prophets say, that which is good, you've called evil. And that which is evil, you've called good. We find that in the Scriptures. We are in that same sort of situation today. I think a big piece of it has to do with the way that the culture has worked and we've allowed it to work. What happened? How did we get in 7 years from 43 states saying real marriage is one man and one woman? To where you come to the point where the Supreme Court says no, you can't do that. And before that, a lot of states had churned, mostly by what the judges had said. How does that happen? Well, in their culture problems, the sin that was there was made a sympathetic rights issue, homosexuality. The idea of live and let live was the war cry to begin with. And I would say most Christians probably didn't have a problem with that. Recognizing homosexuality was a sin. But saying, look, if that's what you're going to choose in your private life, then that's what you choose. It's wrong, but it's your decision to make. Well, it has to do with individual soul liberty. Each one of us is accountable to God, and while we would even speak out, against sinful lifestyles, whether it's homosexuality or it's stealing or lying or complaining, whatever it might be, according to God's word. When it came to live or let live, most Christians, I think, and I think maybe properly so, said, okay, you know, from the beginning, we didn't stone you anyway because of it. So it really wasn't much of, it really wasn't a change or anything that way. But it began to be what happened is people say, well, now you have to accept it as a positive thing. That's where Christians would say, no, you don't have to do that. It went from a sympathetic rights issues from live to let live to pushing the same-sex benefits. It wasn't marriage, but they wanted the same benefits, such as tax deductions and inheritance. and those kinds of issues, which to me seems to be more about money than it does about love. But it is what it is. Children were also an issue as far as being able to adopt children. Then it went from there to the push to redefine marriage, which has happened now. And all in the mix, while this is happening, where were Christians? See, there's consequences when sin is allowed to continue, primarily in our own life. I want you to think through that first. In our own life, if we allow sin to grab hold of us, it will take us down the wrong path. And as we're going down that path, a lot of times we justify ourselves. Oh, it's not that bad. I'm just, you know, it's not that. I'm just not like murder or something. You go to the shelf and you look at what's on the shelf there at the store. And you say, I know if I drink that, I will die. So I'm not going to drink that. Instead, I'm going to drink this. It won't kill me. It'll just make me really sick. I think sometimes that's what we do with sin. We look at that shelf and we see what chemical cleaners there are or whatever it might be. And we say, well, I'm not going to take that. That'll kill me. I don't want to die. So at least I'm not going to die. I'm instead going to take this poison instead. And we look at sin and we have the same mentality, even as the world does, of, well, okay, maybe it's not so bad. I consider alcohol not a sin. That is, if a Christian or a person in general chooses to have a very moderate amount of alcohol, it is not sin. I can look in the Scriptures and demonstrate that. At the same time, I look at the Scriptures and find what? There's great foolishness in alcohol. When we as Christians say, well, you know, it's not like getting drunk and things that way, and start to say, it's okay, we open a door for what potentially could be a lot of trouble. As homosexuality became more and more popular, not prominent, but popular, something occurred in the Christian world. A tolerance. Even to the point where those who call themselves Christians were saying, there's nothing wrong with it. God loves all people. And because it's a matter of love between two people, it's a beautiful thing in God's sight. Clearly, those are churches and Christians who do not know the Scripture, which clearly condemns it. There's a tolerance for it, and there's a degree of tolerance that we should have because we respond with love, but we don't respond with, we find somebody that's homosexual and we beat them up or blow them up. No, that's not the case. We share with them Jesus Christ, even as we would a person who's a thief. Or a person who has various issues handling their money. Or any sinner. The same way that the gospel is shared with us. But we also don't say we're going to promote or do anything that promotes what sin is. Through the process between 1996 and all the way up to the present, there are many issues that were taking place. There are many issues that were taking place as you see that some of the homosexual community would take occasion to bring charges against those who disagreed with them. There are cases that Christians who had private businesses were being attacked. Photographers. Because the photographer would not be the photographer for a homosexual wedding, they were sued and end up closing their business. Flower shop. There's a flower shop that is still in trial and dealing with the fact that they refused, even though she had homosexual employees. She showed love and she would sell flowers to homosexuals, but when it came to doing flowers for a homosexual wedding, and where her actions would show approval for something God clearly condemns, she wanted no part of it. Think of it this way, if you would. If I am a gun seller, I sell guns. And you tell me that you are going to go and get a bunch of guys together and you're going to go out in the woods and you're just going to shoot everything you can see. It doesn't matter what it is. And I hear you tell me this and that you want to order 10 guns for this. I don't think you can do that, but this is my story, so I'm making it up. You want 10 guns in order to do this. I look at the situation and I said, this is a foolish thing. What's going to happen? Oh, yeah, we've got a big old tart. We're going to have our buddies there. We're going to have lots of beer there. And we're going to have these guns there. What am I saying to myself? I don't want to be identified with any of this, right? Wouldn't it make sense that I would say no? I don't want any part, because somebody's going to get hurt, and then who's it going to come back on? It's going to come back on me because I sold the guns. That's happened before. not in real life to me, but in real life situations, things like that have happened. Here's a woman that has said, look, I do not agree with what you're doing. If you want to do it, it's up to you. Didn't prevent them from having a wedding. But I will not have any part of that. She's in lawsuit. Cake shops, a printer, a couple of bed and breakfasts, a family farm, a camp, and even a marriage counselor have lawsuits that have been filed against them because of what has happened with the growth of homosexuality and popularity of it in our nation. But what about right now, in the mix, since we've had the event of the Supreme Court saying that homosexual marriage is okay? What do we care? As Christians, I think a lot of times we put our head in the sand and we don't pay attention to what's going on. That doesn't mean we have to be involved in everything, but we should know what's going on in this world. And then we say, well, that's the world, and we don't want any part of that. But it affects us, and a lot of times I think we buy the lies that it won't. How often have you heard in the past few years, what do you care? It makes no matter to you. It doesn't affect you. Is that true? Well, let's find out. Since June 26, 2015, Sioux City, Nebraska, an attorney has threatened legal action against the county clerk who refused to issue same-sex marriage license. In Texas, a county clerk has received death threats because she said, no, I am going to stand for God and I will not allow give out these certificates for homosexual marriage. A Judge Alan McConnell in Ohio, is facing issues because he has refused to marry homosexual couple. Mark, I won't say his last name because I'll probably get it all wrong. I'll try it. Oppenheimer, maybe. The New York Times is calling for the tax-exempt status to be stripped from all non-profit Christian organizations. He's not the only one. The senior editor of The Fusion, I think that might be a magazine. Not only this, the cake owners, although it's dealing with what's happened in the past, cake owners are in suit because they refused to make the wedding cake. They're given a $135,000 fine, and that's not because of emotional harm it caused by unlawful discrimination, they called it. Oh, it's not about the money, though. More money has been raised and set aside for them. It's about the issue that they have been told that first off, what they did was wrong, which it wasn't. And secondly, so they don't have the freedom of religion. Secondly, they've been told that they are to not, they've been charged, let me read what the post is. The state of Oregon has also charged a couple with advertising, basically talking about not wanting to participate in same-sex weddings. And they're told not to speak or publish any more about it. They've been commanded by the state of Oregon not to talk. They don't have the freedom of speech. Their answer was, oh, you want to make a bet? Not to be rebellious, but to say, no, we have, based on our state, our national laws, our right to do this. Americans United for the Separation of Church and State has announced that since the Supreme Court decision, they're now launching an initiative to destroy the tax relief for faith-based schools, starting with Christian colleges, promising that to use the IRS as a weapon of force against same-sex housing, force same-sex housing on universities with real marriage views. So while you are told and fed the line that it doesn't affect you, it won't affect you, and many people said it will affect you, what has happened? Let me share just a few more things. Potential things that are actually not potential, but actually in the works of being of occurring. I mentioned tax exempt status for nonprofit ministries like ours, the church, or like the camp, Whispering Cedars Baptist Camp, or like Faith Baptist Bible College, remove their tax exempt status. Parents will not have a say in about what their children are taught about relationships in marriage and schools. They won't be given advance notice or have an option to opt out. Teachers who express support for marriage will be fired. When I say marriage, that's because God hasn't redefined marriage. Marriage is still only one man, one woman. Christian college accreditation will be attacked. Government-backed student loans will be taken away from those colleges. Faith-based adoption agencies will be forced out of business. Christian business owners, like wedding photographers, cake bakers, florists, etc., will be discriminated against if they turn down a same-sex ceremony. We've seen that happening already. Churches who open up their buildings to outside groups will be sued if they turn down events such as a reception for a same-sex wedding. Faith-based charities and relief organizations get money from government will see those grants go away. The freedom of Christian organizations to hire people who are in harmony with their beliefs will be attacked. Members of military who disagree will be challenged. And people who work for the city and county governments who express support for marriage may lose their jobs, and some have. I want you to grasp hold here of what's happened. It's been promoted in the media. There's great media promotion that took place. That helped to build the case for homosexuals and apathy on our part as Christians. Well, I think we have the idea, we give up, saying there's nothing we can do, or we misdiagnose the problem as being government leaders, or, and when I mean government leaders, primarily I'm not talking like White House, although you've got the White House with Congress and things there, but what about the judges that we elect here in our own local community? What about the leaders right here? And many of them, many Christians have decided their one voice doesn't matter, and so they don't vote. Finally, it fell into the belief that Christians should have nothing to do with government, allowing these sorts of things to happen. But there's a Christian response to all this. This is where we need to be. What's the first thing we need to do is to pray. The first thing we need to do is pray. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, I exhort you first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. We need to be in prayer for our leaders. And in prayer for our leaders, we also need to be in prayer for us. It's no time for Christians to be cowards. There's more that is going to yet happen. You want to know a very real possibility based on what's happened in Canada? I, as a pastor, Parkland Baptist Church, could be asked by a homosexual couple to marry them. If I refuse, although right at the moment, the law is supposed to be that we're exempt. But you see how that's worked in the past. If I refuse, I could end up in prison. Or have an extraordinary fine. It sounds ridiculous, but just find out what's happening in Canada. Other places around this world. We need to be in prayer for these in people who are in positions of authority. Verse 2 says, so we can lead that quiet and peaceable life in godliness and reverence. And we have to realize that when we're doing this, we're dealing with the issue that is not just people. What is behind what is going on? How foolish are we to think that, how could this happen so quickly? Is it just a man-made thing? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. The battle we are facing, and it is a battle. I hope you realize battle lines have been drawn. The homosexual community, the activist ones, have drawn the line that said you're either for us or against us. And if you're against us, you're going to pay. Because it was no longer live and let live. Now it's either accept and give your blessing or you're going to be in trouble. We need to realize that this isn't just from people. This is Satan's work. It is not just a fleshly deal. It's much to do with the flesh, doesn't it? It's no time for us to be cowards. Acts chapter 4, verse 29, when Peter and John got out of prison, there was a prayer service that took place. The prayer service, the prayer was not, deliver us from this persecution. That was not the prayer. The prayer was, Lord, look at their threats. Grant your servants, them, us, that with all boldness we may speak your word. Are you afraid to say, some topic comes up? I think it's kind of died down a little bit. We've had some major events, sadly, happen here in the States that has kind of overshadowed what has taken place. But don't forget, that will stick. That decision by the Supreme Court will stick, and it will have severe consequences. And as opportunities come, you look and say, you know what? They're not married. And make them mad. Not for the purpose of making them mad, but for the purpose of showing them God's truth. Say, God says, and we are accountable to God, every one of us, including me. I tell you what, I had wanted nothing to do with God. Might be your testimony. I was doing just fine, but God finally came, and somebody came and shared with me what I'm sharing with you. And I realized, hey, I want to be on God's side. Because ultimately, I'm accountable to Him. And there will be judgment. We need to pray. Stop thinking that's merely a human issue and recognize it's a spiritual issue and recognizing who our Lord is and pray for Him to work as well as us being bold to say, no, that is wrong. Along with this, we need to trust God. We cannot trust in ourselves. Nothing is in and of us alone. It has to be by God. Notice in Psalm 115, verse 11, it says, you who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Some put their trust in horses and chariots, as the psalmist writes. But we will remember our Lord. Where ought our trust be? Ought it be in what we can do? No. It ought to be in what God can and will do. Through us, or sometimes despite us. It's time for us to be like Queen Esther. And say, this is wrong. Even if it costs our life. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 5 and 6 says, let your conduct be without covetousness and content with such things as you have. For He Himself, Jesus, has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? We can look at what is happening in this world. And for you as an individual, you don't think it will have an impact, but you'll see its impact in our society. And that could create real fear. But understand, as Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6 says, the Lord is your helper. You will not fear. What can man ultimately do to me? Take my life? Okay. What does that mean? Oh, that means I get to be with Jesus. Yeah, that's a real heartache, huh? As Christians, we need to be informed. We need to be informed. I have a list there of four different places I get emails from Christian sources that will describe what sorts of things are happening. And from the best that I've tell by what they've said and the research I've done, especially for this morning, they are accurate in what they present. It is good for us to be informed, not obsessed. Don't be obsessed with the news and what's going on that way. You can spend your whole life getting involved with that. And for some Christians, that is kind of what they get involved with. For example, Citizen Link, their job is to get involved, know what's happening, and help what's going on in government, and help what's going on, or go against what's going on, in order to help us as Christians know. If we bury our head in the sand, we'll be like those that voted for a president or for a governor because they found out what's in it for them. They don't even know who the name is, but they heard some sort of promise that they're getting something out of it, and so they wanted that. Instead of saying, well, wait a minute, where do they stand? Thinking that it's not going to affect them. We look at some of the prophets. We look at the example of, I mentioned Esther. We look at Mordecai. Mordecai had a position where he knew what was going on with the government. We look at men like Isaiah and Daniel, who because of their position knew what was happening. You could tell by the way they're writing, they had intimate knowledge of what happened in the palace. And they were using that in order a way to not only describe to others what was going on, but to try to have an effect on what was going on in the government itself. They were knowledgeable. We ought not to be foolish and just bury our heads in the sand. We have to be knowledgeable, informed. Not only informed, but get involved. There's some ways that we can get involved. We need to be in contact with government leaders and let them know that we are not happy about the Supreme Court decision. My opinion is, based on what I read in the United States Constitution and what it says about the limits of the Supreme Court, that what they did was unconstitutional. You can mention that if you feel that way. That should be a state's issue, not a federal issue. Beyond that, what do you think about what they did with marriage and the impact that it will have in our nation? Let them know. You know, how is it that the homosexual community was able to gain so much ground in such short a time? Because they kept harping. It's kind of like the unjust judge in the scriptures, where the widow comes and speaks to the unjust judge over and over and over again. He says, I don't care about this woman or about the issue at all, but you know, I'm so tired of hearing about her, and so I'll give her will. We're not annoying the government leaders, but if we don't express where we stand, we remain silent and allow sin to happen. We need to support such things from national and state level. I know there's one nationally. I did not find anything statewide yet. But there's an act called the First Amendment First Amendment Defense Act. And this is an act that's being supported by a Republican from Idaho. It does have support from 34 sponsors in the Senate and 124 in the House. What it is it's a act that prevents government from punishing individuals or religious institutions for holding to the historic belief that marriage is the union of one man and one woman. It says that federal government may not take any retaliatory or adverse action against an individual or entity for holding to natural marriage, including the loss of tax-exempt status, academic accreditation, and the loss of government contract. There's a movement out there to say, wait, if you're going to pass this okay for homosexuals to get married, then you need to pass something to protect the people. Support that. You might, as we look ahead, work on a campaign of a particular candidate of some sort. Whatever you can do. I was watching a video, and one of the things they said is, go down and say to a candidate that you support, hey, I've got 1 hour a week. What can I do for you? And help get their campaign going, to volunteer that way. I suggest even considering contributing to the Alliance Defending Freedom. Alliance Defending Freedom. Alliance Defending Freedom is a source that I've used many times in what we are doing here at Park Lane Baptist Church. I want to encourage you that you will resolve in your heart this day where you stand with God. Where do you stand on this issue? Do you stand with what God says, or do you stand with what the world says? And ask yourself why you stand there. Why do you stand with God? And will it only be in this issue, or will it be with every issue in your own heart? Will you stand with God, or do what Satan tempts you to do? We as a church are going to stand with the Lord. As individuals, we need to make sure that we are as well. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us. We spent considerable time as we look at this, but help us to understand the fears that could take place because of what decisions have been made. Lord, there is much that is happening and still happening in this world, and it amazes me even how in the last few weeks, not only what I've mentioned, but other things that are in the works. I ask, Father, that you would help us as Christians, that we would be focused on our primary duty to love you with all that we are and to share the gospel with others and see souls saved. We know that is the cure for the illness, the cancer that's in our country. But Father, we ask that as we do this, that we'll do so in the spirit that brings glory to you, always in the spirit of love, but yet with boldness. I pray, Father, that you'll help us in everything that we do will bring glory to you. I ask that you would indeed protect us, that you would be with the leaders of our nation, that they will do as much as possible to make the side effects of what's happened to be absolutely minimized, and to put even to effect the reversal of what has taken place. Father, we pray this not just for our own safety or our own concern, but Father, that we as a nation might turn back to you. I pray that you would use this not only in our lives, but all believers across this nation, that we all take a bold stand for you. Father, I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So I take your hymnals and turn to 116.